Thanksgiving is a wonderful time, and I don't know about you, but we had the opportunity to celebrate with our family this weekend. That was really, really so precious because it wasn't always that way. And so because it is that way, it makes it that much sweeter when you get the chance to. And having people over, having the fellowship, but also for me, just having that relationship, especially with my sons, because there wasn't always that relationship. And so it's just something that is this, it supercharges me to see that and experience that, be a part of that. I just want to just make an announcement about that, if nothing else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, because if we'll stand in thanksgiving, thanksgiving will open doors. It opens doors before us like nothing else. Why? Because thanksgiving is inherently a praise to our God. Thanksgiving is actually a recognition that God is in my life and he's releasing something through my life. Because as I begin to stand in thanksgiving now, I begin to recognize value and honor. Okay, what we honor, God will just give us more of. When I stand in honor towards him, if I stand in honor for something, then and honor God in what he is doing, then I'm going to see more of it. You know, oftentimes in our family arrangements, we get fixed on saying something about the thing that's bothering us rather than the thing that we actually like. But if we'll turn and we'll honor that which we're expecting, that which we need, that which we want, you'll get rewarded with more of it. Amen? The simple dynamic of how to work with your relatives. Yeah. Glory to God. But with a little honor, okay? And I want to, like, for example, I want to honor Tim this morning. Because why? Because he's so stalwart. He's been the armor bearer for, what, 18, 19, 20 years? Before Tim, most of the armor bearers, they lasted 6 months to a year. And an amazing thing, just give him a hand. Why? Because he's faithful. He's faithful, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful, and I want to honor that. Okay? I want to honor those things that are happening. I want to honor Chris for what he was already started doing with getting some of the nativity set up and the little thing, the thing on the foyer set up. Okay? Those things make a difference in our life. As we'll just stand in our faithfulness, it makes a difference to others. Okay, let's get some scripture on that. So go with me to this Philippians 4 for just a moment. Glory to God. I'm going to tie all some of these things together. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let the forbearing spirit be known. Let your forbearing spirit be known. Your unselfishness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your prayer be known then unto God. And then as you do so, there's a flow that happens with it. And peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Because out of thanksgiving flows the understanding of just how big God is. The more that we actually begin to operate in thanksgiving, the more we begin to see how big God is and how much he's making a difference in our life. When I got saved, I didn't have a whole lot of testimony other than the fact that that I met Jesus and I discovered something that was more real than anything I'd ever done. So I grew up in an environment, in an age where sex, drug, and rock and roll were the whole thing, right? But I realized when I met Jesus, he took the place of all that. He took the place of all that. The rest of the things could never bring you to the place that Jesus can. Now we're on this journey to enter in with him and to come face to face with our Lord and our Savior, to come face to face with the Creator. And as we're in this journey, now we're learning not only is that moment of salvation poignant, but every day can be that new moment, that new awakening, that new arising. Because we have the opportunity to meet him face to face. We have the opportunity to engage something in him that was definitely created for us. But a lot of times we didn't even recognize it before. Most of religion, shall we say, basically teaches you that you're going to meet Jesus when you die. I want to meet Jesus today. You have the ability to meet Jesus today. You have the ability to encounter him day by day, moment by moment. You have the ability to come into his presence and be changed by that presence. Hallelujah. Psalms 100 tells us, verse 4, tells us we enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. See, there's something he's setting out in front of us, a testimony he's setting out there right for us. Because your thanksgiving is your ticket in. Your thanksgiving now becomes a way to open and activate this relationship with God. Because in his thanksgiving, I'm recognizing you've already been there for me. I'm recognizing that I don't even have to do this on my own. It's not up to you to bring you into him. Did you recognize that? In other words, this is not about our striving. This is not about our self-effort. This is not about the good things that we've done. Okay, if you're Sharon, you've probably done lots of good things. Okay, if you're me, that wasn't the case. Because see, the more that I recognize that what God has already done, now he's opening up a brand new entry. And ultimately, it was his idea to give you a savior. It was his design to create this opportunity. All we have to do is come into agreement with him for it. And now it happens. And now because I make myself available to it, I can enter in with him. Because I make myself available to it. I don't duck it. I don't try to hide from him anymore. That's when we were talking about out of Genesis 3, out of Genesis 3 where, you know, when sin came in, a man's first response was to hide. You know, in our own strength, we know we're not worthy. I remember when the first time when I started doing confession and the first time I said, I am the righteousness of Christ, I literally hid behind my desk. Because I thought lightning might strike because there was nothing in me that felt like I was righteous in that moment. So I was like, let me just test this. You guys think I'm lying. I just did it. Because it was the truth. It was where I was. Because why? Because my soul was so filled with the stuff that the world had put in it for 35 years. I had lived a lot of life before that moment, and none of that life was righteous. It wasn't saying righteousness to me. But when I began to say it and began to come into agreement with him, it began to shift. And now I can know I'm the righteousness of God. I might have just slapped somebody, but I can know I'm the righteousness of God. Okay, I haven't done that in a long time. Okay, glory to God. Let me just clear up something. In Genesis 3, last week, okay, I was sharing out Genesis 3. And number one, the concept was at the very start that God is good. And we have to understand that he is good. And if we make that the foundation stone of our relationship, it changes everything. Because in Genesis 1, everything he created, at the end of the day, he said, and it was good. And when he created man, he said, and it was very good. So when we see that and we understand, this is my foundation stone. When I understand that God is good, now I quit making those indictments against him. I quit making those accusations against him. In other words, when I stand in something that's not truth, I'm actually making an exact accusation against God's goodness. But if I stand in the knowledge that he is good, I'm standing in agreement with him, and now I can begin to operate no longer out of an assumption that he's out to get me, but out of an assumption that he's there for me. And that means that when I need something to lean on, I have something to lean on. Many years ago, the Lord told me to know the soldier that is next to me. Know the soldier that's next to me. Because see, not everybody is in a place where you can lean on them when you're in trouble. Okay? If you go to lean on somebody and it just gives away, you learn something, but that's not the moment to learn it, is when you already need help. Okay? The basic, to learn what their character is, learn who they are. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. I was clearing up something. I was clearing up, and basically what I said was that when Eve was confronted by the serpent, and you know, this, the devil comes in this form, and she was confronted by him, and she basically responded to his question, Because he gave her a question. He basically, you know, has God said? And so then she began to repeat what God said. And then she added her own interpretation to it. Recognize that's the birthplace of legalism right there. When we take our personal conviction and add it to what God said. His word says to not either take away or add to what he has said. Because when we add to, now we're creating our own doctrine. When we add to, we're just creating a whole new religion right there in that moment. So we take this thought, and now we've expanded it. And the problem with that is that Eve expanded her understanding based on what her conviction was. And then the enemy was able to take that and twist it and say, well, if that's what you believe, try this. And he took it and twisted it, what she believed. Because he couldn't twist the word of God, but he twisted what she believed. And that could be twisted. Well, that's why we call it the birthplace of legalism, but that's why also we recognize that that's where the power got lost. When we stand in God's word, in the truth of God's word, and we don't add to it or take away from it, now we're standing in what is powerful. Amen? The whole place of standing here in thanksgiving is recognizing what God is doing and recognizing that he is good. Had she just stood and recognized that God was good, all the rest that happened there couldn't have happened. Had Eve just said, no, God is good. He's not holding out on me. He's not holding out. When we start not understanding who's talking, then we start beginning to start thinking that God might be holding out on me. If I'm firm in he's good, I already know he's not holding out. The devil was trying to make it seem like there was something that the Lord was leaving her out of. And she bit. She received that accusation. She received an accusation. But we don't have to. Amen? There's some scriptures when we're in this place with him and we're understanding that he's good and we're being thankful to him for him being good. It makes some other things look different than what it was already there. And go with me to Titus. Just Titus. We'll do that one. Titus and Timothy, both 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, both have some things here. And for a long, long time, these scriptures bothered me. And in Titus, I want to go to verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. This is Paul speaking to Titus, and he's setting up a church. He's setting an order for church. He's setting an order for a church government. You realize what church government you have established will determine a whole lot of things. When we begin to look, and we can know that when God sets up the government his way, it's going to produce a whole different level of fruit. Amen? Verse 5. Oh, that was verse 5. I'm sorry. Verse 6, namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion, in other words, not saved, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, nor quick-tempered, nor addicted to wine, not pugnacious, in other words, not wanting to fight, that's the result of being angry, but hospitable. Okay, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, and devout, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Glory to God. Now, I can tell you that when I first got saved and when I first started, actually when I first, not just when I first got saved, but even time when I first started ministering, this passage scared me because I wasn't all that, and my family wasn't that. My family was a mess, but there was a portion of my family that was already perfect before I ever got started. But my family was a mess. Okay, my boys were just running amok. Okay, there was serious things going on, and yet And yet God was still providing opportunities for me to go and minister. And when I would go and minister and God would show up, I would just be amazed, because how could you possibly show up when I've got all this over here that's out of order? Because God is good. Because God is good. Somebody's a good student over there. Hallelujah, Ray Lynn. Here's the deal, is that what he was doing was operating like he did with Abraham. See, when Abraham, he said he believed God and he counted it to him as righteousness. God was causing me to operate in an accounted righteousness because I wasn't there yet. But he could see my heart to be there. He could know that in my heart it was already there, even though in the natural, it was going to take a few seasons before we got there in the natural. But he accounted it because it's in my heart. Because my heart in those matters was exactly as the word was describing. It was pure towards those things. It wasn't that I was trying to duck any of that. It wasn't that I was in denial of any of that. It wasn't that I didn't want to operate in those things. I was recognizing what God has already set in me. I wasn't there, but he had set it in me. In the same way, when he begins to set it in you, that's what he did for Abraham. Abraham was able to go and operate in things that were well outside of his covenant. He was able to see into the end time. Because why? Because God accounted to him his righteousness. What we've been studying, when we've been saying to see the end from the beginning, when we're saying to step in with him and to step into this, into the next day with him, it's giving you the opportunity to look at your life from a place of accounted righteousness. To look at your life and go, hey, you know, maybe at this moment it's not where I want it to be, but God is going to equate it to the same as if it was already there. And you just stay on the journey. Just stay faithful to the journey. Because if you're staying faithful to the journey, he can complete the work. And now you can let yourself rest from all the self-inflicted condemnation and doubt. You realize, okay, I've said this before, but self-condemnation is nothing but agreement with the enemy. Okay, so let's not stay there. Okay, there might be a moment where you recognize, hey, that's not lining up the way I really wanted it to line up. But don't stay under self-condemnation. The enemy's way too good at giving the condemnation out anyway. We don't need to add to that. See, when I begin to place myself, like in Isaiah 9:6, when I begin to place myself under God's government, now then he can begin to remove the contamination and remove the defilement. When I stand in his government, now, in other words, when I move into the God's presence, when I move into the face of God, I'm moving into a moment where his government becomes greater than whatever is over me in the natural. And that shifts what I'm doing. And it shifts even the place that I am in, the covenant that I'm under. Because when I become under his covenant, now I'm standing in a covenant that's always going to be righteous. It's always going to be holy. I'm standing under a covenant that's always going to be bringing me nearer to him. Those things make a difference that I cannot do in the natural in my good works. Amen? Hallelujah. So back to Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving keeps you righteousness conscious. Thanksgiving will cause you to be righteousness conscious. Because I'm more aware of my testimony of what has happened, where he's already shown up, than I am about the situation that's in front of me. I know how at that moment to shift in when I become righteousness conscious. Now I shift in with him, because why wouldn't I? Hallelujah. I had the opportunity, was the World Series just last week? Okay. 2 weeks ago? Okay. Whatever it was. Yeah, that's true. We're doing so much here. There's only 1 year that counts right now. But basically, I had the opportunity to go back. See, I was getting ready for service, so I didn't actually watch the World Series in real time. I watched like the first three innings or so, four innings, I don't remember. And then I went to go prepare. And so I was going to be a good boy and prepare and get ready for service and all that. And so I did all that, and then we get up there, and then God just does a whole different thing in the service. So, you know. But out of that, I had an opportunity to do something, to learn something. Because, see, I watched the World Series knowing what the end result was. And you know what? When you know the final score before you start, it takes all the drama. It takes the drama right out of the picture, right out of the equation. There's no more drama in the equation. In other words, things that I might have been moved by when somebody strikes out and I'm like, ugh, we're no longer in us. Like, okay, next inning's coming. Next inning's coming. I know what the end is going to be. I know what the end is. But you know what? God has already told you what the end is going to be. God has already told you. And so he's removing the drama. He's already given you a picture of what the end is going to be. And so when you stand in agreement with what the end is going to be, it takes the drama out of today. It takes the drama out of the moment. And it begins to release an expectancy for his end. And when we stand in that true expectancy for his end, now we're standing in something that we can be in agreement with him. Amen. My struggles with this Thanksgiving was so special because with my youngest son especially, there were some things that were really severe. And, you know, and he was looking at prison time, 20 years of prison time. And so when I'm looking and I'm working with him and I'm praying, and one night on Tuesday we had to show up for court, and on Monday night I'm just praying. I'm on the floor. I'm laying my guts out. And the Lord just told me, the war is already won. The war is already won. He said, there might be some battles, but there's some war that's already won. You know, from that moment forward, I was at peace. No more struggling. Why? Because we already took the drama out, because I understood the end result. What I got to stand in this weekend was already prophesied to me way, way back when, before we ever even got to those places. And so I stood in the fullness of that. When we went to court, I looked at Kim and I was like, am I missing something? Because I was so at peace. I was like, this can't possibly be. I mean, I felt guilty because I'm at peace. He's over there, you know, and they got this file on him that's like huge. Okay. And I'm at peace. I'm so at peace that I was like, it's okay. It's all good. God's got this. And I didn't even have to. I mean, it wasn't something that I worked up. It was just there. And Kim was, you know, because she's my partner, right? She was in that same place of peace. She was just there. And we were, you know, we were not moved by all the things that were going on up there. And we got to see the glory of God happen. Okay. Now, the good news is they didn't send him away at that point in time. The bad news is he still messed that up and did a whole nother thing. But we had to do another round too. But the deal is I got to stand in the peace regardless of what was fixing to happen. And because I was standing in the peace, God was able to move through that and into a judge who, quite frankly, was known for being pretty severe. But he actually ultimately at the end of it, he called me, he spoke to me and said, you know, I appreciate who you are. After we had been down in his courtroom like many times, I can't imagine, you know, 5, 6, 7, I don't know, a while. But my point is that he recognized there was something different. And he said, when you would be out there in the courtroom, it would shift the atmosphere. And he was the one recognizing. And he moved in mercy where it was not his intention a lot of times to move in mercy. But God is that way. God is that way. Okay? Hallelujah. So it removes the drama when we already know the score. Look in your life and ask the Lord to show you what is the score. ask him to show you what is the score. Where does this end up? Where does this end up? Because when I know the score, and you know, you might not know the score today, but I'm prompting you because God is good and he's going to tell you and he's going to show you and he's going to reveal that to you in this moment and in the coming moments. Because why? Because if you'll honor it, he'll show it to you. If you'll begin to honor him in it to show you the end result, he can begin to start the process of the transformation to get you there. Transformation happens. Sometimes it happens all in one big moment, and then other times it happens over a period of time. It doesn't matter how your transformation happens. Just let it happen. Be encouraging it, be engaging it, and be purposeful about it. You know, it's awesome when, you know, somebody gets saved, and in those first months, why so much is transformed in their lives that it just creates this testimony that other people are talking about. But if that's not your history, that's fine too. Because as long as you're making progress from moment to moment to moment, and you're looking and continually expecting God to do something in it, he's going to make a testimony that no one can stop. The devil is not in charge. Amen? The God and the devil are not equal. And if that was some thought you had in your back of your mind, they're not equal. It's not one good, one side's good and one side's bad, and like it was in the comic books. No. God is good, devil is bad, and the devil is not powerful. Now, he'll create situations in front of you, but he's not powerful enough to carry it through if you stand with him. You stand with the Lord Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So enter his courts with thanksgiving. I'm sorry, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Let's see, I think I had, let me dial back over here. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, pulling it up. And verse 2, let us come before his presence. Let us come before his face with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Make a joyful noise unto him. Well, that's helpful because I'm not like Monica. When I sing, it's usually called noise. But that's okay. I can feel good about it and the Lord feels good about it. And someday you guys are going to get it to be able to hear how the Lord hears it. Amen. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. You know what I'm going to say here is that praise, even when it doesn't make sense. Praise, even when it doesn't make sense. We're entering into his face. We're entering into that oneness with him, that one-on-one that transforms us. And sometimes it transforms us, and sometimes it transforms the world or the environment around us. But your praise makes a difference. And your praise comes out of your thanksgiving. When it flows out of your thanksgiving, it makes a liar out of the situation. When you're no longer letting the situation prophesy to you, you're letting the word prophesy to you. You're letting the promise prophesy to you instead of the environment. When we stand in with the Lord, now that prophecy begins to shift what's in front of you. Back to my journey with Aaron, there was a day when it was after that other little meeting and then, you know, he was supposed to go out and be a good boy and not do anything bad. And, he kept piling up UAs that didn't pass and the stack of stuff that they had on him, that file was huge. And when the guy came out in court, he took this whole thing and he made a big deal of on the table in front of the judge on purpose. It was very dramatic. And that was a moment when I went, oh, that wasn't great. But see, when we got to this moment, why, the judge sent him out for one more UA. Well, he wasn't clean. And so when the judge, all he had to do, he was supposed to walk out of the courtroom down, and I think there's like two buildings down is where you retest. You retest. Well, he goes out and then he leaves. And he physically actually runs. And then I can't find him, and yet all of downtown, I drove around looking for him and trying to, you know, I'm going to say all these things. And I finally just headed home. And I got to 610 and I-10, and I said, mm-mm. Because on the way, I'm thinking about all those things I should have said, could have said, might have said, would have said, that might have made a difference. And so I turned around, and I drove back downtown, and I parked my car. And I just started walking, and I just was praying, and I'm praying, and I'm coming into agreement with the Lord, and I'm praying, and I walk over to U of H, and I walk out to a bench, and he's sitting on the bench. You should have seen this look on his face. It was like, how did you find me? I mean, you know, there's, okay, it's your city of millions of people, and I walk up on you on a bench. See, this is Jesus. And so then I got to talking to him, and I said all the things I should have, could have, would have, might have said, all that. And I began to just release it all on him, and just. And so I got him to agree with me, and we started back to the car, or actually back to get to the UA, because he never got the UA yet. And then he, as we're walking, he says, I can't do this. And he physically ran and disappeared. Now I'm stuck. And I start walking back to my car. And I'm thinking, how am I going to tell Kim? Because he told me at that moment that I'm going to Mexico. So how do I tell her? And I'm walking, and I don't get to my car, but I get into that parking lot. And the Lord said, praise me. And I'm thinking, praise you? All right, I don't have anything else to do, sir. So I'm going to praise you. And I can't tell you, I would like to tell you that my heart was 100% in it in that moment. But my heart wasn't 100% in it in that moment. But I just knelt down on the parking lot, and I just began praising him with everything that I could muster, everything that I could to get out of my soul or out of my spirit. And I just began to just lift up the name of Jesus over the situation. And I don't know, I was there for 15 or 20 minutes, and I feel this hand on my shoulder. And as I feel this hand on my shoulder, I said, oh, great, it's the cops. They're going to tell me I can't be doing this in the middle of the parking lots. I'm going to jail because I'm in the middle of blocking traffic and people. Because I had no idea what was going on because I refused to look. I was not going to look at the circumstance around me. I was focused in on him because if I'm going to praise him, I'm going to do it with everything within me. And I can't do that if I'm looking at what's going on around me. And so I was just focused in on him. And so this shoulder, and then it's Aaron's voice that said, let's do this. He made the decision to come back, and yes, we did the UA, and yes, he still failed, and all those other things. But God had his plan. God wasn't done. Even in the midst of those things, he wasn't done. And the testimony is, I still get to live with the result that God had in mind way back when we started the journey. Way back when he was 17 and that whole journey started, God had a plan. Even though I couldn't see it, I couldn't recognize it from that moment. And there were moments that terrorized me. There were moments that tore me up and tormented me. But once he come in and he said, the war is already won, that was the end of that. It was the end of the torment. Because why? Because he's faithful. Because he's good. Because if I stand in thanksgiving in agreement with him, now I can stand with his purpose and his plan. And I can see and I get to live in the result of that plan. In 2 Chronicles 20, you can read it, and it's a story about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, basically, they had a huge army that was coming against them, and Jehoshaphat got everybody together, and he put the worshipers out in front. He put the worshipers out in front, and they began to lift up the Lord, the living God. And as they lifted up the living God, God did something that they could not have ever done in their own strength. Because the enemy, while they were lifting up the name of God, the enemy was busy destroying themselves until they destroyed all of themselves. And all they had to do was walk onto the field and pick up the booty, to pick up the loot that was already out there. All they had to do was receive what God had already done. Why? Because their testimony that they were leaving and raising up a testimony of who God was. They were raising up a remembrance of who God had been. And they were raising up an awareness of what God could do. Your praise, your joy. See, there's a crown of rejoicing. There's a crown of rejoicing that's released. The crown of rejoicing is a powerful thing because it contains the power of joy behind it. The power of joy will shift atmospheres. The power of joy will change people's lives and will change their understanding. But there's a rejoicing. When that crown of rejoicing comes upon you, now you can begin to move in agreement with him and move with an expectancy that heaven is backing me up. Literally, heaven is backing you up. And so there's some out here who need to know. There's some out here in our congregation, but there's some out here over the internet that need to know God is backing you up. He's not done with the situation. Stand for the testimony. Look to the end. Stand in the end, and from the end begin to prophesy, begin to see, and begin to release into the present. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shondaraba. I think that's a good thing for a good place to stop for today. Hallelujah. All right. And so now, yeah, we do have our I believe Cody's out actually getting us some pizza here. So we had some food coming up and some drinks and cookies and maybe even some salad there for the one or two people who want salad, for the vegetarian people. Glory to God. And so I just wanted to just welcome you guys and just ask you if you would just give us a hand for a little bit here. And I appreciate it. Give us some assistance. Your assistance is greatly requested. Hallelujah. And if we'll all pitch in, it won't take very long to finish this up. Amen. So just put something on. Just do know this. Pastor LaRue and I, this whole team, we're very thankful for you. We're thankful and grateful for how you guys have stood with us and that you're here with us and that there's so much love in this place for us. And we value that a whole lot. I give God praise for that because that's a God thing.